This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Gerrit Cole splits with a no-no, Mets win, and what the heck is going on in Brooklyn? Gordon and I will discuss next. Looking to hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter at HardestyESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPNNY, 98.7FM, along with Brian the Brain and Tom TV 98.7 Bauer. We're here until midnight. There's Freddie and Fitz on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon McCartney, hello.
Larry, how we doing, my friend?
We're doing great. Last time I saw you, you and the wife smiling and having a picture with Paul McCartney. Did you text him? Did you get him?
We did text him. We have not heard back since the show. We have not heard back. But you never know when Sir Paul needs you. You jump, you know? So it was a good time. It was a good night. The kids had a good time. The weather held up for the most part. It did rain at one point, but it actually added to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Live and Let Die was playing. It was pouring rain. The fireworks are going off. And we always say in the Damer household, if things go wrong, you make a memory out of it. And there's no better way to make a memory out of it than something like, the pouring rain, fireworks, the music, everything else. So a good time was had by all.
Well, that's a good thing. And then there was Father's Day.
And then Father's Day. Did you have a good Father's Day?
I did. I had a great one. Me and Tom spent the day together.
Well, there's worse ways you could spend the day than with Tom.
Absolutely. That's right. Me, Tom, and Jacob Perry spent the day together.
All right.
My two stepsons.
That's one way to go, yeah.
My two stepsons. And then, it was a great day. It was a great day. We had a lot of fun. And you?
Yeah, we had a good day. We went to the zoo. We went to the little local zoo that we have near us. And the kids had a good time. We saw the red panda. We saw the the lion. The animals were a little active, which is always. Sometimes you go there and they're just lying around. It's a little boring, But when they're moving around, you're like, "Whoa, look at the size of this guy!" So, it was a fun day. It was a good day.
That's good. Well, we missed you on Thursday, but we're glad you had a good time. And listen, we'll wait and see what happens with this game in Tampa. But Margot getting the, you don't want to see the wagon. When your player is up against the fence like that. So Margot is going to be taken off. But, Gordon, this has got to be a frustrating night for personally, it's got to be a frustrating night for Gerrit Cole. Obviously, if the Yankees win, it's okay. But for him to flirt with the no-no and then not get the win either because, everybody has a day, and today was Clay Holmes' day where he just wasn't as sharp as he's been. And so the Yankees were tied at 2 before picking up a run so far here in the night.
Yeah, leading 3-2, top 9, so we'll see if they can get this job done. But, I don't know, maybe it's just my age, but I don't really feel like no-hitters are that big a deal. You see them every single year, but to see Cole, you could tell when he gave up that hit to start off the eighth inning, he was ticked off,
Was.
Like, he was disappointed that got through, and it was a clean base hit, there was no issues with that, but it was clearly something that was important to him. And then not only did they lose the no-hitter, but then the Yankees end up losing the lead. And even the way – I mean, Clay Holmes was not sharp tonight, as sharp as he has been. He was much more delayed on the mound. Usually he gets the ball, throws the ball right away, and he was stepping off a lot. But even then, you look at the way that the Rays scored that run. It was a shot down the line of the double just past Rizzo.
Yeah.
It was a little squib base hit to the third base side that was unable to be fielded. So even on a night like this where it did not seem like Holmes had his good stuff, still 2-2 game, and he was able to get out of there before any further damage. So we'll see if the Yankees could tack up another run here and avoid their first 2-game losing skid of the month of June on, what is it, June 20th today?
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's pretty good.
That's great. that's great. And so I would think he's done for the night, Holmes?
I would think so, right? I don't know how many pitches he threw in that.
I think he threw 18.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of pitches, so I would think that he probably is. I don't know who. I know Littke was up before. I know Peralta was up before. Is this a situation where you go back to Chapman? Chapman pitched yesterday, didn't he? I don't think that this would be a situation for Chapman.
I wouldn't bring him back.
No, I don't want him in far less pressure situations. Well, look, maybe the Yankees will tack on a few runs here.
That would be nice.
That would be nice, and making a non-save situation. They tack on another run here, so now 4-2 Yankees.
Yep.
So maybe if they can...
Holmes threw 25 pitches.
25, yeah. I don't think he's coming back. Done. So, and he was not really all that sharp. You know, it would be one thing if he threw 25 pitches, but, you know, it was a bunch of foul tips or whatnot. Right. You know what I mean? Just weird situation. But, no, he didn't look that sharp tonight. So maybe they'll bring in Peralta to try and get it done. Litke. They got plenty of guys. Maybe King. I don't know.
Yeah, they got enough folks.
They do have enough
folks. That's for sure. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. And, of course, earlier today, the Mets with a 6-0 shutout win over the Marlins. And once again, it was a different pitcher, Gordon. It was David Peterson who, as you know, I always say, can he get to the fifth inning? Well, today he got to the sixth inning. So maybe his wife needs to be expecting all the time. He pitches better under that pressure.
Yeah. And look, it looks like you're going to get one of your aces back here pretty soon as Scherzer is set for his rehab start tomorrow.
Yep.
At this rate where he's going, I feel like he's going to throw like three pitches, be like, okay, I'm good. Get me up to the majors.
Right.
I mean, he has been flying towards what we did not think was this quick of a return, right? I mean, we thought 2 months. You hear up to 2 months. You figure it's going to be 2 months, but... Mm-hmm. That not the case, so that's a big... I mean, the team has been holding it down. It's not like you've really missed him all that much, but
right.
You'd always like to have him rather than not, and with him, I mean, he was pitching great before he left.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly would be nice to add a guy like that to the rotation here as we get a little closer to the trade deadline.
No question about that, and of course, with the good news, there's some questionable news. Wait and see what happened with Jeff McNeil. He had to leave the game, so we'll see what his situation is. And then, Gordon, it becomes interesting. We get to see, between both New York teams, we get to see about, what, 6-7 games with the Astros, huh? Consecutively.
Yeah, the Astros are going to be getting their fill of New York here.
Yeah, so we have them for 3, and I think you got them over the weekend, yes?
That is the schedule, yeah. I didn't know if you had them for 3. I didn't know how many, you know.
I think we have them for 3. Because I know we're there
tomorrow. Would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, I think we have them for 3, and then there's an off day, and then I think they go again, so... you know, we'll see what happens. So it's going to be interesting. You'll be able to do some scouting courtesy of us.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, look, I got to be honest with you. I don't really understand how the Astros are able to do it. They lose guys all the time. They lose Correa in the offseason, but Verlander has picked up right where he's left off, and they are able to find guys and plug guys in, and they keep winning, man. And look, for all the talk about the Yankees being able to cruise to a division title, the Mets cruise to a division title, the Astros are going to cruise to a division title. Now, part of that is their division's terrible. I mean, there's not another good team in their division, but still, I mean, they win the games. They find a way.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's amazing. It really is amazing. I got to double-check this because the Wednesday game for the Astros is a 2:10 game. That's normally a travel. So let me quickly look at see what they're going on with Thursday. I'm trying to go on the schedule here and see what's going on. So Thursday, they're here against the Yankees. So it's a 2-game set.
Okay.
For the Mets and Astros, and then you have them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And then you go to Houston, don't you?
Shortly
thereafter, is it next weekend?
So.
You're in Houston.
Yeah, I think we do. Yep, I think we do. Yep, so we'll see a lot of Houston over the next couple of days. A lot of Houston. Well, I tell you what, Gordon, I don't know if the Nets are going to see a lot of Kyrie Irving. According to The Atlantic, there might be some issues. Boy, there's...
Really? With Kyrie Irving? The same Kyrie Irving, Larry?
Yeah.
Issues? That's
issues. Can you imagine? And boy, does everybody have something to say about Kyrie Irving, including us. We'll share that with you next.
I think the Nets have to play this very, very chill. Don't do anything. Let's see if he has the guts to opt out. Because if he opts out and is an unadulterated free agent, who's signing him? Who can sign him that's any good? Does he want to relegate himself to anonymity the rest of his career so he can make $42 million a year? He's already made a lot of money. I think that if they have a high-stakes game of chicken, everybody, I think the Nets win. He's not opting out then. He'll take that $36
million. Right.
And what he'll do is he'll be a completely great soldier. He'll do everything he's supposed to do for 1 year, then get the max deal, and then return to be Kyrie Irving. But, guys, I don't see the Knicks' interest in him other than the fact that they desperately need a point guard. But they desperately needed a point guard all those years ago, and they could have gotten Kevin Durant with him, and they didn't want him.
Michael Kay weighing in on the Kyrie Irving situation. Hardesty and Damer here on 98.7 ESPN. And, Gordon, it's so funny because, like I said to you, whenever there's the postseason and there are teams scoring with ease, it's always against the Knicks. If there's something negative, it seems like, you know, slam dunks or, you know, quick moves to the basket, it's always against the Knicks. And whenever there's somebody available that a lot of teams won't want, the Knicks are always mentioned.
Bing bong! Yeah, well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time we've heard Kyrie Irving and the Knicks and the Knicks and Kyrie Irving. I'll tell you right now, Larry. I listened to Alan Hahn today. I listened to everybody talking about it. I don't think that there's any possibility of the Knicks going after Kyrie Irving. I will say this, though. If they do, I will be the first and foremost verified Knick hater. That is absolutely the kind of move the Knicks do not need. They should not be any. I don't think that they have any interest in it, so I'm not going to try and make it out like I'm telling them what to do. I don't think they have any interest in it. They shouldn't have any interest in it. That report came off to me as the rantings of somebody who is completely out of touch. Just completely out of touch, the Knicks and the Lakers, because those would be the type of play. If he's not going to go back to Brooklyn, you know, he's not going to Indiana. No. He doesn't want to go to Sacramento. He doesn't want to go to Minnesota. He's going to say, well, you know what? I'm Kyrie Irving. I can go play with the Knicks or I can go play with the Lakers. And maybe the Lakers will have him because they're in such a desperate situation. But if the Knicks have any, I mean, could you imagine Tom Thibodeau dealing with Kyrie Irving? I mean, could you imagine for a second?
No.
I can't imagine.
I could not.
Tom Thibodeau might say, you know what? I haven't gotten vaccinated. I got to stay home.
But here's the thing. I don't care who it is. He wants a long-term deal. Oh, nobody's giving him a long-term deal.
The rantings of somebody who is completely out of touch with what his value is. And again, we say it all the time, Larry. He's a brilliant player when he's on the court. I would not touch that guy with a 10-foot pole.
Because he's never on the court.
Never on the court. And even when he is on the court, you know, I mean, as great as he is, he's completely unreliable. Completely unreliable.
It's really sad because he is such a great talent.
Absolutely.
It really is. I mean,
he's never been happy anywhere he's gone, from Cleveland to Boston to now Brooklyn. And there's always something with him. You can't rely on unreliable people. And he is the poster child for unreliable people.
Here's Stephen A. Smith. He was on First Take, and he says what we say. Kyrie Irving, long-term deal? Nah.
Do you know that this brother Kyrie Irving last season would conduct his own practices? So when Steve Nash had the team on the floor and they practiced, they would finish, and he'd go and get five guys and conduct his own practice. You have any idea how disrespectful that is to the players? You have any idea how disrespectful that is to Steve Nash, rather? He conducted his own practices after Steve Nash conducted a practice. I mean, he's driving them crazy. And so what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, your talent is one thing. When we talk about marquee, elite, all-world talent, Kyrie Irving is on the top floor. He belongs in that room with all of those brothers in terms of his talent because he's that spectacular. But when it comes to a lengthy contract, you and I both know, Kendrick Perkins, it's not just about your abilities. It's about your availability and your willingness to be available to capitulate and participate in the best interest of team. And when that is a question mark, you do not give a lengthy contract extension fully guaranteed. Hell no.
I don't see, and I heard what Kay was saying earlier. I don't see how what do the Nets do? Do they bring him back? Do they give him clauses in the contract for games played? What do they do to bring him back? Because here's the thing, Gordon, they kind of need him. Yep. Otherwise, that whole thing is done.
Yep, they made their bed. Absolutely.
It's done. They've given away young players. Mm-hmm. They had a veteran player leave. They have to bring him back. What did they do?
Yeah, they've kind of made their bed now, and now they got to sleep in it, and it's not going to be a great situation. And Stephen A. saying about availability, to me, it's more about reliability, and he is just not a reliable person. So has made it clear that his perception of his value is massively skewed to what his actual value is. Like when he said about, you know, when they hired Steve Nash, well, you know, one day I'm the coach, he's the coach, everybody's the coach. Then after the season, you know, Kevin and I will get with the management. We'll figure out what we're going to do. Dude, come back to us. Come back to planet Earth. Unfortunately, the Nets are kind of stuck, and you think that Kevin Durant, I know that maybe it doesn't matter to him, but like to watch the Warriors, what he left, now go on and win a championship without him, and he's dealing with this. You know what I mean? It's like It's like the person who ends up marrying the mistress, and then the mistress is not what you thought the mistress was going to be. Like, and you look at the your ex-wife, and she's living her best life. That's what it almost is like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Warriors are off living their best life, winning another championship. Steph's one of the top 10, one of the top 12, one of the top 11 players. And here's Kevin Durant having to deal with this mess. Oh,
yeah.
Good luck.
It is. It's not easy. It is not easy. Alan Hahn gives Knicks fans some hope on Barton Hahn. Here's what he had to say.
This has given me Steph Curry vibes because he didn't even work out for the Kings. All the mocks have him going fourth, which is literally Steph Curry. They told Golden State, don't draft him. The Golden State wanted him to come for workouts. He said no. They were making it clear, don't draft me. He wanted to go to New York, and then they drafted him anyway and kept him. So the vibes I'm getting is sort of the same thing. Do the Kings just say, don't care where you want to go, the Knicks are going to have to offer us a lot, and they might not have enough to offer for the fourth pick. So if you're the Knicks, I've been saying this, this kid wants to play for you. I'm offering anything not named RJ Barrett to get him. You have future first. You have Dallas's pick. What do you want? Let's get this done. Because that kid's special, and you put him and RJ together, and you've got a backcourt for 10 to 15 years.
Now, that's Alan Hahn on Jaden Ivey. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, Gordon, because we had that conversation a little bit yesterday about whether they should, because remember we were talking about what should they do with the 11th pick? Should they just trade it because you got enough young players? Well, there's conversation about them moving up. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. This Alan Hahn talking about Kyrie. And so this is what I meant. When Alan Hahn tells you that the Knicks have no interest in Kyrie, Gordon, that kind of puts a smile on my face. Here's what Alan had to say.
In the end, there's a player right now who is acting like he's got leverage. Once again, Ian Begley said, sources close to Kyrie's side. So this is all from him. This is not a Nets putting it out there.
Yeah.
This is not a Knicks putting it out there. This is not the Lakers putting it out there. This is off the player who thinks he's got leverage. And I'm here to tell you, he doesn't. So the idea that they're in an impasse, which means the Nets are telling him, we're giving you a very protected deal that saves us from you.
Right.
And you're going to have to take it. And he's saying, hell no, I'm not signing that unless it's a fully guaranteed what I'm worth. And the Nets are saying, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So now, okay, well, we're going to go public and we're going to tell you that there's other teams that would want me and you're going to lose me for nothing. And one of those teams doesn't have any cap space.
It's the Knicks.
And the other team has no way to get you. The whole thing is a bunch of BS. It's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
It's superficial. It shows you how out of touch he is and his side is about his value and who wants him. There's no leverage for him. None. He's trying to manufacture it through the media. And I can't stand when somebody who covers the league like this guy does for The Athletic doesn't stop for a minute and think, yeah, there's no way that
I'm not reporting that. Yeah,
I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not saying that without first checking. Like, you guys in on Kyrie? Because I can tell you make that one call. It's like, yeah, you could say we are just to screw the Nets, but not really.
Yeah.
Gordon, very rarely you hear Alan Hahn screaming and yelling like that.
Wow. That's usually Bart's job. Bart was like trying to calm him down.
Boy, is that a difference.
Yeah. Flipping the script there.
It is. It is. And I agree with him. That's really what it is. It's them trying to make some leverage, try to get some leverage to see what they can do, because the bottom line here is he has already burnt the bridge because of the fact that his lack of availability and reliability. And now it comes up and he's in the spot where I don't think even KD can save him.
I don't know. That might be his, that might be the bat phone under the glass, right? That might be the only thing that maybe if Kevin Durant goes to management and says, this is what I need. I think it would be, unfortunately for Durant, though, like, what other option? You know, they don't have any picks. They don't have any cap space. They don't have any of this type of stuff. So they're kind of, it's either Kyrie or what exactly? Yeah. And I don't think that there is a team in the entire league that is desperate enough to say to themselves, you know what? Let's go down the Kyrie Irving road.
Yeah.
We can get the best out of Kyrie Irving. He won't do the things that he's done. Maybe the Lakers, maybe LeBron can figure. I don't even know if it's possible, but I can't imagine. Yeah.
He left
maybe because they have, you know, they want to move Westbrook out of there. Maybe there's a third team that would take Westbrook, and then the Lakers could get I don't know, but it doesn't seem like that's a very good possibility. And I can't imagine that there's any if your GM comes to you and says, you know what, I think we should take a shot with Kyrie Irving, I would say, you know what, I think you need a shot in your brain because there's no chance that we're going to do that.
And once again, if you're the Nets, what do you do? If KD, hypothetically, let's say KD says, listen, I want him back. We have a mission to finish. We came in to win the championship. I want to have an opportunity to do that. I'm already signed. Okay? I've already extended. I've already shown good faith. I'm already here. I'm here. I've shown that. What do they do? You can't give him a multi-year deal. Do you give him a one-year deal and hope that he takes that? Give him a one-year deal and say, okay, here's 1 year, and we'll come back and talk? And then, as Kay said earlier, he's on his best behavior 1 year, gets the other deal, and then, you know, what do you do? That's the issue there. Because you don't want to – you can't give him a multi-year deal.
No, this max – I mean, that is as close to organizational suicide, giving him a $245 million contract for 5 years. You are just taking your organization and flushing a quarter of $1 billion in somebody who has – perennially and repeatedly shown you they are unreliable. You cannot trust him to show up and do what is needed to be done. So I guess you probably have to go down the road of a one-year deal, but you know what? He's the kind of guy who could, any time that there's been any talk of him being traded or anything, he's always floated that, you know what, I'll just retire. And out of all the things that he says a lot of wacky things, that I kind of believe. I think that he might be the guy that says, you know what, for a one-year deal, I've already made a ton of money. I'm already set for life. I'll just walk away. I don't need it.
Gordon, I wonder what that person that just walked in front of the camera
You know what? I saw that too.
Is going to do after tonight looking for a job.
Well, mistakes happen. And I look, what a professional Jack Curry is. Didn't even break stride. Just kept making his point.
Kept rolling. But no, rolling. Mistakes don't happen both ways. It happens going. You don't come back.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't come back that way. I'll say one more thing before we get to the phones. This is such a weird situation because normally it's a player that either is always hurt, has off the field problems, off the court issues, stuff like that. That's not really what this is with him. It's really just the situation of not being available for any other reasons. Nothing negative off the court. It's not like partying or doing all this other negative stuff. Right, Gordon? It's not that. It's just not being able to say, you know what? I'm here. I'm good. You need me for 82? I got it. I can give you 75 or 82. If I can get 75 or 82... I'd give him the contract. But I can't get 75 or 82. And I can't say, here's the other thing. I can't say, well, okay, it'll be different this time. Hasn't been different ever. Ever.
No. It's his reputation, and it's well-deserved. Sometimes reputations are not well-deserved. Sometimes, you know, they get spun out of things that happen. But, no, he's played 103 games in 3 years for the Nets. 103 regular season games. And do you think that's going to get better over time? You want to see how that goes the next 5 years? I wouldn't.
No, I don't think so.
You know, sometimes when the whole thing went down with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving going to Brooklyn, it was a black eye for the Knicks, no question about it, because Knicks fans thought they were getting KD and it didn't happen, and he went to Brooklyn, and clearly, you know, he left Golden State to go someplace else, and it wasn't the Knicks. At that point in time, I said, you know what, I'm okay not getting Kyrie Irving. And that was before the last 3 years. So now I'm definitely okay with not getting Kyrie Irving. And I can't imagine that there's a team out there that's desperate enough to give him a max contract. Clearly there's not.
Yeah. No, not at all. Let's go to the phones. Alex is in Westbury. Alex, talk to us on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, guys? Quick hypothetical question. And I wanted you guys to expand on it a little bit more, but what if the Lakers did actually say, let's do a sign and trade for Russell Westbrook, Kyrie Irving, dead even, and let's say hypothetically they figure out the cap space. And as well, while I was waiting, I thought about this other scenario. What if the Heat also came calling, saying that they would trade Kyle Lowry and a couple of young players for Kyrie Irving?
Thanks for the call, Alex. I don't see Pat Riley even thinking about getting Kyrie Irving on his team. And I don't know what their cap situation is, but they would have to shift some people. I know what you're talking about, Kyle Lowry and whatnot. I just, the contract is the issue. Okay, even if you're talking sign and trade, the contract. What does that contract look like? What do you have to put in that multi-year guaranteed contract to protect yourself, to make sure that he plays? That's A. B, I'll just say this, and I know how people are very sensitive, as we found out last week, Gordon, about, you know, what we say about Russell Westbrook. If I'm the Nets, what am I going to do with Russell Westbrook?
Well, if you're worried about getting rid, if you're the Nets and you're worried about getting rid of Kyrie angering Kevin Durant, I can't imagine he's going to be made happy by bringing back Russell Westbrook.
No. And then you still have another thing, because his is an expiring contract.
Right.
So you're bringing him in for 1 year. So what are you going to do then? That still doesn't help you.
It doesn't help the Nets. I mean, no. They got no draft picks. They got no cap space. They're not rebuilding with Kevin Durant. They're supposed to be in win now mode. So yeah. I think that they'll eventually figure out something that will appease Kyrie Irving. I don't know what it is. And I'm sure as soon as he is appeased, he'll figure out a way to become unappeased. But unfortunately for the Nets and unfortunately for Kyrie Irving, I think that that's their best spot for both of them, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's
it is.
I don't think it's going to add up to anything, but I don't think that there are any other options.
I don't see anywhere else he's going. I think he's going to end up in Brooklyn. They'll come to terms with something. Maybe they'll give him a 2-year deal. They'll come up with something, and he will remain in Brooklyn, because if the Nets deal him, they're not going to be dealing at full strength. Why would I give up a bunch of young picks for him when I don't know I don't know how available he's going to be? Once again, it's not talent. We get the talent. That is not the issue of the talent. It's the availability.
And we'll see if the Nets don't cave this time, because they've caved in the past.
They have.
And if Kevin Durant puts his foot down, I just wonder, will the Nets stick to their guns and say, you know what? No, we're not giving this guy. We're not giving this guy 5 years and $250 million. No. We're just not doing that.
I can't see them doing it.
Maybe it will happen, but it would be. It feels like it would be the first time they put their foot down since these guys got here.
John's in Freehold. What's up, John?
Hey, how we doing, Larry? How we doing, Gordon?
Hey, John. Long time no hear.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You guys enjoy a happy Father's Day yesterday?
It was wonderful.
It was great. Yours?
Good. I'm glad to hear that, guys. Yeah, excellent. Outstanding.
Good.
Great day. Didn't do anything. Catered the event. Had family over, and it was a great time. Really enjoyed
nice.
It. Glad you guys enjoyed it as well. Want to get into a couple of things with the Knicks, guys. I want to touch on Kyrie Irving real quick, Donovan Mitchell. But more importantly, I want to zero in on this and drill down on this draft with the Knicks and their involvement on Thursday night. Kyrie Irving, that would be the typical lazy, nonsensical player personnel decision that the Knicks have made in the past. It's not a fit. It makes no sense. And it's something that they absolutely positively cannot do. Regarding Donovan Mitchell, guys, he's a tremendous talent. We know he's from the area. We know his dad works for the Mets. We know he goes to Citi Field frequently, that he's a Mets fan. That's all wonderful. That makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy. But we've been down this road before regarding that. We had a hometown hero in Stephon Marbury here. We had Kemba Walker a year ago here that we brought in that didn't fit. We had Carmelo Anthony here, of course, that didn't work. That was a colossal failure. And I just look at any Donovan Mitchell player transaction being the same thing as Carmelo Anthony revisited all over once again, where the Knicks would give up all their assets to bring him in. He'd have nobody else to play with. Their salary cap would be compromised, and it would get them absolutely nowhere. It would be a big splash for a big name, for a local guy, just like Carl Anthony Towns would be the same scenario. Been there, done that, don't want to do that, want to move away from that, don't even want to discuss it any further. Now, when you talk about the NBA draft Thursday night, this is the first time in Knicks history where they have the absolute assets and ammunition to really make a big splash and get the right guy that could move this, you know, franchise forward in the positive direction that it needs to go. I like the youth movement that they've been keeping with. I like the player personnel decisions they've been making. They've brought in a better scouting department. If they firmly believe as a team, as a group, between their scouts and their player personnel decision makers, that Jaden Ivey's the guy, you got to make that move. Okay, you got to make that move. They have the assets, like I said. You've got a young, proven veteran in Julius Randle you could use as a trade asset. You've got the first and the second round draft picks, which you have multiple of. You've got young players. You've got a Quentin Grimes. You've got a Quickly. You've got expiring contracts to negotiate with. This is the time to make the big hit, hit the home run, make the big splash. If this guy is truly the guy that they believe is going to lead this team forward in a positive direction at the point guard position, which we all know has been the huge hole for so many years now, and he's going to enhance the play of R.J. Barrett and Obi Toppin, that's the direction I'm looking to go on Thursday night. They got to get that done.
John, I hear you. Thanks for the phone call. He is a and I haven't seen much of Ivy play, Gordon. But he, from what all I've read and all I've heard, he is a guy that, and I ran his stats down yesterday, his scoring went up last year. His average is about 14. He went up to 17 last year. I think he was about, if memory serves me right, a little over six. I think it was a little over five or six rebounds and about a little over four assists. And that would lead you to believe that maybe he's not a facilitator. But once again, not being familiar with the program, having not seen a lot of games, I don't know. Maybe he's the scorer. He's not supposed to pass the ball, you know. Like he's the guy. So you worry about, you know, what the assists are going to be moving forward. You worry about defense and all the other stuff. The question is going to be, and Alan Hahn alluded to it earlier when we played his audio about what if Sacramento says, okay, we want everything. The question here is, and listen, I love John. John's got a little GM basketball in him. I don't think Sacramento wants Julius Randle. I just don't.
It is Sacramento, really, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
I don't. So it's going to be unlikely. So it's going to be some young players or some other folks. I mean, listen, I am interested in having him. I think he would be a guy that could solidify your backcourt from what I've heard about him. I just don't know what it would take to get him, and I'm a little concerned. Now, I know the Knicks have a ton of draft choices. They've got draft picks forever. Will it be enough to get the deal done, A, and B, if he's that good, who else is going to want him?
Yeah, a lot of teams, it seems like, you know, Woj had the report during the NBA Finals with Greeny that it was not just the Knicks that are interested in him, that a lot of teams are interested. I would just be interested to hear what the package would look like, right? Because yes, the Knicks might have all these picks. The Kings have all these picks. The Kings are in the lottery every single year. What do they need more picks for? They've got their own picks. So I don't know what you would have to give up. I would love to get... At some point, the Knicks got to figure out what the path forward is. And I can hear what John's saying about Donovan Mitchell. I can hear what people are saying about this guy or, you know, established players. You can't go and do this because then you don't have anything left. You got to figure out a path forward. You can't tell me no to everything. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out a way. The 11th pick, to me, does the Knicks no good. They already have a bunch of young guys. They already have a bunch of draft picks. They got a coach who's not going to be playing the 11th pick in the draft unless just something crazy happens and the Knicks just find an absolute godsend at number 11. So, yeah, I think it makes sense to package picks and move up, package players and move up. But you have to make sure it's not the same situation we're talking about with Donovan Mitchell where you give up so much and he comes here and then he's got nothing to play with.
Yeah. There's got to be an understanding with front office and head coach that we're moving up to get this guy at number four. All right. You're playing him.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's got to be on the same page, right?
Cause you're playing.
That has been a problem in the past. You're taking Obi Toppin at eight and then you're not really playing Obi Toppin where you could have taken Halliburton and, you know, I don't know, maybe he wouldn't have played Halliburton either, but at least he was in a position where he wouldn't have been locked.
Right. Right. So that's the thing. There has to be, hey, you're playing it. All right. We understand that. And we need to, and there has to be that discussion as well of, hey, and let's incorporate some of the young talent we have. So we know what we got. We have no idea what we have here. We don't know. And as you mentioned last year, you wasted half of a season And then, like, in the past month, you play him. It's like, oh, the young guys are this. The young guys are this. Well, yeah. Well,
Right, when you had no other choice. I mean, there was nothing else to – the season was sunk.
It was over.
Yep.
And then with the season over, you still say, well, you know what? We were playing teams when the season was over. So you still don't know. Because you put an asterisk next to that. So you're still not sure how good the players are that you have. It's wild. It's just wild.
Obviously, a tremendous opportunity, you know, a tremendous organization within the New York Knicks. Obviously, I would be honored to, you know, be able to play there. And I think, you know, they recently just made the playoffs 2 years ago. I feel like, you know, I could compliment, you know, the organization and, you know, help them win if they drafted me.
Thank you, NBA Entertainment, for sharing Jaden Ivey on being drafted possibly by the Knicks. Hardesty and Damer until the top of the hour here on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon, let's head back to the phones. Trey is in Brookline, Texas. He's next on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, fellas?
Trey, what's going on?
Y'all doing all right?
Hang it in.
We're doing great, my friend.
All right. All right. So, first off, shout to the family. Shout to the family, first and foremost. T-shirts coming, boys.
Oh, good.
T-shirts coming. T-shirts are coming. Gordon, I got a special T-shirt for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's all. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Shout to the family. You know, I heard about them people up in the morning because I'll be up around that hour, too. Shouts to the family is all I'm saying. All right. Anyway, sad to report that kid that got killed in Harlem last night, Larry. That was that kid. So shout out to his family. You know, my prayers, man. That's senseless. It's going to continue because this country has a bloodlust for guns and weapons. So I don't even want to get into that. That's a whole other thing. Yeah. John, it's always good to hear John from Freehold, man, because he spits the gospel, man. That's one of the messiahs right there as far as I'm concerned for my Knicks, man. I always like listening to him. He always shoots it straight. I agree with Gordon. We need a path to get to some good players here. We have a lot of assets. This kid, Jaden Ivey, is the real deal. I know you haven't seen a lot of him, Larry, but this kid is the real deal, man. He does a lot of great things. The free throws are bad. It's like 74%. I think he shoots like 35% from three, so that could
fits
get
right
better.
Into the Knicks he's already.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Dear God. his mother's a coach, so he's coachable.
Okay.
His mom is a coach. I like the kid, man, and I like what he's saying, but we can like them all day, Larry. How the hell are we going to get from 11 to 4?
Yeah. You have to give up some. You're going to have to give up some people you might like.
Hey, I've been talking to Chris, man. Me and Chris, we talk all the time, man. You know what Chris said? I'm going to tell you what Chris said. You know what Chris said when I asked him? I asked him his honest opinion.
Yeah.
Chris said, this is going to hurt. He said, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
He said, it's going to hurt. This is not going to come for free. You know, we ain't talking about Julius Randle. Like you said, why the hell would Sacramento want Julius Randle?
Yeah, they would.
Well, they are Sacramento. I mean, there's at least an out. I mean, that's a glimmer of hope. They are Sacramento. They're Sacramento for a reason. But yeah, it seems unlikely. It's too good to be that. Those type of things don't happen to the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if it does, man, then we ship him out on the first thing smoking, man. The last jitney to Jakarta, we get him up out of here. He's got to go. But I don't see that happening. So this is going to hurt, and they're going to take everything. And that's what we don't want to do. That's why we don't want Spider here. Because if we go get Spider, they're going to take everything. They're going to take everything. Nobody's coming here for free, man, because they know that they can get a bag from the Knicks. They know that we got assets. We got a lot of 2 second rounders. And, dear Lord, man, I know we got a couple of ones. So we got to find a path to get quality players in here so that we can start winning some damn ball games, Larry. I'm tired of doing this every year. We always drafting 9, 11, 12. And then when we are up at 4, we draft those bad knees from Slovenia, wherever the hell he was from. It's ridiculous, man. I don't want to start doing this tonight because I got to save it for Thursday. Because I'm going to be heated on Thursday night, Larry. Yeah, they're going to smell my cologne, Larry. I wear Issey Miyake, Larry. They're going to smell it through the phone. I'm going to be very upset. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully,
I don't want this, man. So,
hopefully, Trey, this will be the year. And thanks for the phone call. It was good hearing from you, my friend. Hopefully, this will be the year that, you know, they get something done. And here's the thing. Are you close to winning? I mean, let's be honest. Let's honestly look at this Knicks team. Are you really are you really close to winning? It didn't look like it last season. I mean, if you have to be very honest, look yourself in the mirror as a Knicks fan and as Knicks management and say, the team the way it's constituted right this second, you couldn't get into the playoff, the play in for the playoff.
And you tell me,
well, you know, we make some adjustments, you know, Derrick Rose is coming back and we'll have this and we'll sign Mitchell Robinson and he'll be good and we'll win some more games and we won't give up all right, so that's a handful of games. Gordon, you're not close. So if it takes some other guys that you have and some draft choices to move up to get somebody, then that's what you have to do.
You got to pick a lane. You know, like since Leon Rose has been here, they've tried to remain flexible. Like I think that was the point of last year's offseason was to get guys under contracts that were reasonable, that could eventually be moved at some point. Unfortunately, those contracts have not really worked out that well.
No.
But at some point, you got to pick a lane, right? Some point, you got to say, this is the team that we are going to be. And all the big moves have essentially been made since before Leon Rose got here. You know, Randall was here. RJ was here. You know, they've drafted some guys, and you like some of them to a degree, but there's no game changers. And the Knicks need to put the foundation in place. The foundation is still a work in progress. So hopefully the draft, I think I like the idea of going and getting Ivy. I don't know what the price is going to be. And sometimes you like things that before you know what the price tag is going to be. But
sure,
at least, you know, I feel like that would be, hey, it might not work, but at least it's the right process, right? Like, let's go finally get our point guard. Let's move up where we feel confident about this guy and let's go get him.
I mean, you've got a guy here that's not playing in Obi Toppin. Showed you a little something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's involved in that trade to move up to 11, to four, yeah. Gordon, you got to move. You got to put him in there. He's not playing here.
No.
You got to move. Put him in the deal.
Yep.
If they want McBride, Gordon, he's not playing unless he's in the G League. You might as well put him in the deal. He's not playing. You've got young players, and I still don't know what Cam Reddish is doing. Yeah. Still don't know what's going on with Cam Reddish.
Reddish would like to know that as well.
I mean, is he going to be here? Is he part of a deal? What's going on with him? They traded for him. I get they traded for him for a guy who wasn't playing, but he is more talented and didn't play and then got hurt. So, I mean, you have all this young talent, but what I'm saying is it's young talent that you don't know how good they are. So if other people want them, you're not playing them. You might as well put them in the deal to try to move up to get somebody that you know is going to play. That's how I feel about it. 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY 98_7 FM. Gordon, our good friend Jonathan Green, Jay Blaze, NYC, nephew. Uncle L, obviously the off-field issues aren't in the same universe. So at Gordon Damer, is Kyrie becoming the Antonio Brown of his sport in terms of people running out of patience? Will he be in the NBA in 4 years?
It's a good comparison.
It is. And it's an interesting comparison. And it's interesting because of the caveat that he puts that obviously we're not saying that they are the same person.
No.
Or the same issues.
No.
But
talent's not the question.
Talent's not the question.
Attitude is.
Yeah. And availability.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as bad as Antonio Brown, but is he going to be in the league in 4 years? Gordon, I don't know. I think he could, much like you said earlier, I think he'll pick up his ball and go home at any time. He could. He could, because just looking from the outside, don't know, never spoke with him. But just looking from the outside, he's not as obsessed with, like, basketball like some of the players are. it's not, it doesn't appear to be the most important thing in his life. Like, he could take it or leave it. It's the means to an end for him, right? So I just think that when he gets bored with it, or when he's just needs to take a step away from it or take a step back from it, because it's guaranteed contract, among other things, or because of his, you know, how embedded he is with it, he'll just leave. So I don't know that he will be in the league in 4 or 5 years. I don't think so.
Well, think about how much time he missed this past year and how much was written about Kyrie Irving. Was there ever a story about, oh, my God, Kyrie really misses the game?
No.
Oh, my God. It seemed like while he was away, he was he was having the best time.
Yeah,
and
good.
Just to – I just took a look. Kyrie Irving in his career, according to Basketball Reference, has already made $160 million.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he doesn't want $250 million
well,
more.
As much as you can get.
Right, of course. But – I don't get this. I agree with you. I don't get the sense that basketball is a passion for him the way it is for other people.
Yeah.
And if he got to a certain point, I think that, you know, he would be okay with just saying, you know what, I don't need this.
He is the ultimate example of basketball is what I do. It's not what I am.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, he is the perfect example for that. And I'm not saying that everybody, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Unless you're trying to get a
right.
5-year
right.
multi-million dollar contract from yeah. me, you know, and I'm not sure whether you're going to be there. Then it's an issue. From my standpoint as the Nets, what do they do? Once again, it's the same question. They have to answer, they got to find a way. Because otherwise, it is a total.
Oh my God. Nightmare.
Dumpster situation.
Absolutely.
It's
dumpster
total.
Fire. Absolutely.
It's total because
it cannot have gone worse.
It can't. And listen, I understand that Durant didn't play the first year, but what? One playoff series win?
Yeah. Well, Kyrie barely played the first year as well. You know, I figured out the math. He has played 41% of the Nets regular season games in 3 years. 41%. I mean, could you imagine having a time machine? The day that Kyrie and Kevin Durant signed in Brooklyn, it was just thought to be, well, here come the championships, right?
Yep.
Get ready for championship time. I mean, maybe not the first year because Durant's not going to play the first year, but once he's back, forget it. Here come the titles.
Yeah.
And if you had a time machine to go from that day to now, the amount of stuff, like, it would be have to be explained to, well, what happened? How did it get to be this bad? Well, you see, what happened is this and what happened is that. It is an absolute nightmare from everything with Kyrie missing as much time, from the whole James Harden deal to get him, the whole James Harden deal to get rid of him, bringing in Ben Simmons. I mean, it is just, wow, what a mess. And
you know,
it's funny because remember when they got here, what did they talk about? Well, you know, the reason we chose Brooklyn was because they got a great culture.
Yeah. And then got rid of the coach who got
oh,
the coach.
Got rid
the culture.
Of it immediately. First sign of trouble.
Yeah. You know what it says, though, Gordon, to be honest? You can't buy success. You can't always buy a team. You can't always buy a championship. It's a lot that goes with it. It's a lot that goes with it. And that's what... As if I were a Nets fan, that's what would be so frustrating about this scenario. I was building my young team.
Mm-hmm.
I was building with Kenny Atkinson and D'Angelo Russell and, you know, all the guys that I had there, Allen and all those young players. I was building something.
Yep.
I was building. People were like, oh, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is how you do it. And then, okay, you know what? I got – listen, not faulting them. You telling me I got the opportunity to bring in arguably
any team,
the
any
best player in the world?
Basically done that. Yep.
And Kevin Durant? No, they didn't make the wrong decision. It just didn't turn out. There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. They rolled the dice, and unfortunately for them right now, hasn't been good.
Well, look, I can be honest with you. I feel like the championship window for them – it's very hard to see that window opening.
Mm-hmm.
If it's open, it's open a crack because of the greatness of Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
Between Kyrie Irving's situation and then, I mean, let's not forget Ben Simmons' situation.
Who?
Yeah. It feels like that champion. Now it's just a question of how much worse are you going to make it?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to Are you now going to sell your soul even further to get in deeper, thinking that, well, you know what, maybe if we bring him back, if we give him a 2 or 3 year deal with a couple of options, it's pretty clear what the right move should be in terms of cutting ties with him as quickly as possible and mm-hmm. getting whatever you can for him, but they're not going to get anything for him. So it's just a question of how bad it's going to get.
And how good does Ben Simmons have to be next season for that deal to look good? How good does he have to play? How good does he have to play? Does he have to be – and once again, he doesn't have the same – well, depending on what the situation is with Kyrie. But in theory, he doesn't have the same pressure on him that he had in Philly. But how good does he have to play next year for that deal to even look good? And listen, the beard, Harden wasn't great in Philly. There's no doubt about it. He wasn't great there.
They got their own problems with him and his contract.
He wasn't great. But how good does Simmons have to be here for that deal to say, you know what, we got lucky on that. It was a little better than what we thought it was going to be. I don't know. He's got to be really good. He's got to be really good, and he's got to be available.
Well, I'll say this. It won't be hard for him to be better next year than he was this year. Let's put it that way, right? That won't be hard.
You're right. It won't be. It's a
see him in
low
a uniform.
Bar.
That might take it.
That would be fabulous. Jeff is in Florida. Hey, Jeff, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry Gordon. Great show.
Thank you.
I'm 62 years old. I'm a Knicks fan since the 60s. So I had the glory days in 69 and 72. You know, what we're going through now, of course, we had the Riley era. Okay, we had a little bit of a few good years. These off seasons are brutal. You know, as laughable as what's going on with the Nets, at least free agents want to go there. You know, when we heard about Leon Rose, what did we hear? We heard he's got all the contacts, him, World Wide West, Steve Stout, whatever. Nothing has changed. Any significant free agent has no interest in coming to the Mecca of basketball. The drafts, we all know the secret, right? You draft great, you sign some good free agents. No good free agent wants to come here. And the draft picks are atrocious. You know, they got Barrett because they were left for number 3, right? They didn't get Zion. They didn't get Morant, Ja. So they got Barrett. Barrett's a nice player. Great. Obi Toppin at 8. Are you serious? So, you know, you see this and you say, what is going on here? They're not getting Donovan Mitchell, right? They don't have enough chips to give up. Pat Riley will get him over the Knicks. They're not getting Ivy to trade up to 4. All this talk is just talk because they have nothing and no one wants to come here. And it's really beyond belief that this goes on every year. Then you have a guy like Julius Randle who you say, maybe we've got something. What in the world happened to him last year? Then he gives the fans the middle finger like the 2 Mets did. You know, you can't make this stuff up, fellas, and it really is sickening.
Well, Jeff, thanks
How
for the phone call.
This?
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks for the phone call. I remember him giving them the middle finger. I gave him the thumbs down. I remember the middle finger.
It was essentially, yeah, I know what
but
he's
I know
saying.
What
yeah,
he means.
Let's get the fingers right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was the thumbs
down.
Because
it's a little different.
It is different. I mean, could you imagine if he gave the finger? Oh, my God. The Post, the New York Post, you would have opened it up and it would have just been on fire. I mean, it would just,
yeah, exactly.
It would have exploded in your hands. Yeah, no, he didn't give him the finger, but I know what he's saying. Figuratively, yeah.
Yeah, he did, but not officially. So we got to make sure we clear that up because otherwise we would have to worry about him not being there. He'd have been long gone.
Yeah, that would have been.
Yeah, hey, Jeff, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And you had hoped that the run that you had that got you the 4th seed, and everybody knew the team wasn't really a 4th seeded team. No. But they got lucky. They played well in the in the COVID shortened season. They played well, right? But still, the season after the COVID shortened season. But still, the bottom line here is that was when you had the opportunity to lure some folks. You start to hear like Dame Lillard and stuff like that. Then after last year, not about no game Dame Lillard or nobody else coming here because of the way they played. So ultimately, It's very simple. For you to get the free agents that you want to come here to be attracted to you, you have to win. Until you win, they're not coming. Simple as that. It's very simple. You have to win. Look at what it took for Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. Golden State didn't really need Kevin Durant. They won championships. They had won a championship before he got there. Now, he added to what they had because they were a great team, and he just, you know, he was the icing on the cake. He was perfect for what they wanted. You have to be able to win. You have to be in a winning situation. That's why KD and Kyrie went to the Nets, because they had a young nucleus, and these guys figured it out. We don't have to do a lot of work, Gordon. All we have to, we got the young kids. So all we have to do is just sprinkle our expertise and our experience and let the young kids grow, and we're good. We're good. And the Knicks are nowhere near that position. Nowhere.
You can't keep looking for saviors. You got to eventually, it comes down to you, right? Like, everybody's looking for the magic bullet when it comes to getting in shape for summertime and washboard abs. There is no secret. It's diet and exercise. It's hard work. Yeah. And that's what the Knicks have to do. Now, I would disagree with him on that the draft picks have been terrible. Now, Toppin, I think we all kind of agreed at the time that probably wasn't the right way to go, that Halliburton would have been the better player there. But R.J. Barrett is a good player. They've gotten Grimes in the draft. They've gotten McBride. They've gotten, I think, Jericho Sims has some ability. I think Quickley has some ability. If you look at the draft picks the Knicks made before this regime, you know, the Kevin Knoxes, the Neil Aquinas, that was the really bad drafting. I think that their drafting has been somewhat better, but they've not been in position to get that big-time guy. Hopefully Thursday night they move up and they get to four and they can get the big-time guy and they can make the most significant move of the Leon Rose era. That would be the most significant move that they've made so far.
And who would have thought that Zion Williamson would be in the situation he's in after not getting him for... We were salivating for the chance to get Zion Williamson.
Yep.
Salivating for that. And he hasn't even played.
No, he's played even less than Kyrie Irving has.
That's amazing. That's saying something.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.